This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shockingly, that's the Andy Frye Show. It's always nice to have Ryan Wiggins' version of our intro on the show that we have wonderful friends and partners and sponsors like Todd Sivia in the studio to hear what he's investing in. That's great. Todd?
Why do we choose to do that when we have sponsors in?
It's like the time we do it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know if we thought that through. Todd?
Last week, Mike Kehoe was on.
That's what I heard. I wasn't here. We have the governor of Missouri, yeah. Todd Sivia, and we're like, let's put our best foot forward. Or not. Todd, thanks for being in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We appreciate you. It is Todd Sivia of Sivia Law, my friend. I've done my full trust, my estate planning with Todd Sivia. Is this, I know you said the end of the year is a busy time at Sivia Law because you're waiting on some completions and rulings or whatever it is,
yep,
in the court system. What's it like in February?
Oh, February is a little slow,
yeah,
and that's typical because everybody's kind of waiting for their tax refund check.
Mm-hmm.
And once that tax refund check, we usually get a lot of appointments.
Well, I want people
which
to,
is, you know,
right about now.
Right about now.
I've gotten my federal and my Missouri, and I'm, of course, shockingly, waiting on Illinois right now. If you're interested.
Shocking.
Yeah, exactly. I think I got it. I filed in February last year. I think I got it in July.
Nice.
This is very complicated. If you're interested in reaching out to Todd Sivia, he's in Missouri and Illinois, you can call him directly at 833-995-WILL, 833-995-WILL. You can visit him on civialaw.com right now to kind of poke around his website and see how he can help you with your estate planning needs, any elder law concerns you have. Also works with special needs, real estate, personal injury, business, and online forms. All of that at civialaw.com. You're in here to play X's and O's, Todd, and you are here against our very, very best Julia Bears.
Look out.
Yes.
This is going to be...
Have you played? You've played before,
haven't I you? Haven't.
Really?
Really?
No. Never?
I can't believe
no,
that.
I always somehow...
Got out,
get out of it.
Not today. You were the
today.
Only one here.
Nope, I actually am.
So I'm going to turn it over to Ryan Wiggins, who is the host of X's and O's here on Friday. And Todd is going to be facing off against Julia. We haven't played X's and O's for a while, so let's start from square one, so to speak.
I see. Very good.
And let's tell our competitors and listeners what we're about to do.
Okay, so what we have is a tic-tac-toe board with squares numbered 1 through 9 on it. You, Todd, and you, Julia, would be looking to get tic-tac-toes, X's and O's, that's the name of the game. But you don't stop at one tic-tac-toe. You keep playing until all the squares are filled, and there could be multiple tic-tac-toes, there could be none, and then it would go to a tiebreaker, who has the most squares, things like that. But every square has a corresponding question. Brad and Annie are your experts on the week's events, which is what this mostly is, and you will ask one of them to answer for you, and then they will answer, and you will simply agree or disagree for the square. So that's
okay.
How you play.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get our drummer going here. It's been a while. Thank you, Todd. You can just do that the whole time if you could, please. Ah, there we go. All right. Our drummer is here. And so I think, did we determine who's going first or no?
Todd.
Todd's going
first.
Oh,
Show me your ways.
Well, I think we determined that Todd was going first because we figured you had played before, but barely not. So, Todd, you're still going first.
It's okay. Todd.
All right, which square do you want, Todd? And then which person do you want to answer that question for
you? Oh, let's go with number seven.
Number seven, a man of strategy. Oh. And Brad or Annie answering this question for you?
Let's go with Annie.
Okay. Annie, earlier this week, some phonies stormed a city hall claiming to be employees of DOGE, demanding documents related to waste and fraud. They were, of course, faking it, and once law enforcement got involved, they fled. Which city hall did they demand to see documents from?
San Francisco. Francisco.
Francisco.
One of the questions that asked me anything is how often do you quote movies? Not too often.
So,
Agree or disagree?
That would have been probably all over the news if I would have seen that. So,
I'm not asking whether or not the question's real. The question is real.
No, if it was San Francisco, maybe they probably would have published it, but maybe disagree.
Disagree. Unfortunately, the answer is San Francisco.
Ooh.
Oh, that was correct.
So I can get it out.
Okay. Which means Julia gets the square.
And seven.
Obviously, I wasn't paying attention.
To Todd Sivia's point, yeah. I didn't know about that story either, but somehow or another, Ryan Wiggins slipped it in the middle of our conversations this week.
Yes.
So it really...
It wasn't headline news.
I have a theory. You put together X's and O's, and then you just try to bring them up through the week.
That's not real far off. Okay. I would say a good half of these are things that I was like, hey... You ever heard of this crazy news story out of Los Angeles?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember the name. No, okay, I'm not going to say anymore. Julia, it's your turn.
Okay.
Turn.
Brad, you're up.
Okay. Which square?
Oh, I will take three.
Which is the top right?
Number three. All right, you have stumbled into AI.
Fort Knox.
Whoops.
The fabled Fort Knox.
There it is.
Make sure the gold is there.
All right. You can tell we haven't done this in a while.
Snoop Dogg?
Hang on now.
Don't answer the question yet, Brad.
You have stumbled into AI.
There you go.
Hey. All right. This is a real clip
from
the week.
Julie's like, now I know why I've never done this.
Yeah. This is a real clip from the week. Run through artificial intelligence. So it won't sound like the person talking, but you guys tell me. Who said this?
We're going to go to Fort Knox. The fabled Fort Knox. And make sure the gold is there.
Who said that this week? Brad.
Oh, I've got to answer this.
So you're saying the voice was artificial intelligence.
So that wasn't actually...
So she recognized the voice.
Yes.
It was
a fake Snoop Dogg reading a real quote.
From a real person.
Who is the real person?
Mm. Okay. We're going to go to Fort Knox. Well, the only people that have been talking about it besides us has been everybody. So... I think, but when everybody gets talking about it, it's because Donald Trump said something. So I'm going with Donald Trump.
Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Here's who said it.
But we're going to go to Fort Knox.
There you go, Julia.
The gold is there.
There it is. Go to Fort Knox. Make sure the gold is there. All right. That is another O. Todd, it is time to catch up. Where would you like to go on the board?
I think I got to go with number five.
I think you might be right. And who is going to answer that question for you?
Let's go with Brad.
All right.
Brad, you have the day's first audio whoopee.
Whoopee.
All right. On Wednesday, Howard Lutnick appeared on Fox News stating that the president's goal was to abolish the IRS.
The fill in the blank.
Well, think about it. Donald Trump announces the External Revenue Service, and his goal is very simple, to abolish the Internal Revenue Service and let all the outsiders pay. I mean, this is someone who is focused on America.
All right. What agency is Howard Lutnick the secretary of?
Mm. Oh, man.
Mm.
I should know this, but I don't know this. The Department of Defense.
The Department of Defense. is going to abolish the IRS.
You go, Pete Hegseth. You do your thing.
If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I disagree with
that. That's the right choice. So you get your middle square there.
Sweet.
Commerce.
Yes, it is. He's a Secretary of Commerce. That is correct.
For the block.
For the block. Ooh. Julia, is back to you. You're on the offense still. Where would you like to go?
I'm going
to
go with my girl, Annie.
And square?
And square.
Let's go with one.
Okay.
Number one. Number one.
Okay. Number one.
All right, Billy Madison.
Okay.
This is the other audio whoopee of the day.
Whoopee.
All right. This is actually a throwback to Senator Chuck Schumer pre-Super Bowl.
I was hoping you'd say 90s pop.
No, no. We'll get there.
Okay.
This is Chuck Schumer a couple weeks ago, but it was a very, very famous clip, and I just couldn't move away from it. He was suddenly very worried about prices after 4 years of barely mentioning them. He was concerned about certain products' prices in particular.
It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac, because what is guacamole made of? Avocados, both from Mexico. If you have pizza, it's going to affect the cost of...
What product was he very concerned that it was going to affect you for Super Bowl?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Hmm.
Agree or disagree, Julia?
I'm going to agree.
Here's the answer.
It's going to affect beer, avocados, both from Mexico. If you have pizza, it's going to affect the cost of cheese.
Oh!
That was a guess. Dang it. Sorry.
Oh, that one goes back to Todd. And now we got a game. That was number one.
Number one.
Oh, we got a real game now.
No.
Yes. Todd, now what is the board saying?
Help me.
Help me.
Which square, Todd?
All right. You know, Brad helped me out the last time, so let's go with Brad.
All right.
Okay, which square?
Nine.
Bottom right for the tic-tac-toe?
Yeah.
Okay, this would be the first one of the game. You have stumbled into AI.
AI.
This is a real quote from the week, run through AI. Won't sound like the person. Tell me, Brad, who said this?
My oath is to the Constitution of our state and of our country. We don't have kings in America, and I don't intend to bend the knee to one.
Well, I'm glad I pulled this audio clip. That's the governor of Illinois. That's J.B. Pritzker.
That's exactly how he sounds to me, too.
Yeah.
Like a liberal white woman.
The big joke here is I didn't even run that through. AI.
It gave away was that big breath. We have bigger kings here.
Yeah.
We don't even have kings here. I will not bend the knee.
There's a lot more personality than this person.
My oath is to the Constitution of...
My oath is to the Constitution of the state and the country.
Somebody please send the governor that audio.
Send this audio.
Yeah. Yes,
this is happening right now.
Yes.
So, I agree.
Todd is going to agree. All right. No, it was not. Yes. Now, here's who it is.
My oath is to the Constitution of our state and of our country. We don't have kings in America, and I don't intend to bend the knee to one.
Said the guy who acts like a king of the state of Illinois.
Tic-tac-toe. Yeah. A winner. A winner.
All right, there's the first tic-tac-toe.
Nancy Pelosi confirmed. Todd Sivia is a winner.
This has been a big shift in the game.
It has.
It really has.
Good job, Todd.
Julia?
Yeah, I went from...
yeah.
Oh, and two.
Barely on the board to being chairman of the board.
Hey! Is that in the set?
Yeah, that one's going to be it. Well, now it will. I just wrote that. Julia, where you want to go?
I'm going to go with six.
Number six, who's answering?
Annie.
Thank you. I got you, girl.
This one's kind of fun, Annie.
No, I don't like your tone.
This week, we compared Donald Trump to Neo at the end of The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it yet, so don't ask me Matrix questions.
Every attack. There are four Matrix films. The Matrix Resurrections, The Matrix Reloaded, and The Matrix Revolutions. Put them in order.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Say them again.
The Matrix, The Matrix Resurrections, The Matrix Reloaded, and The Matrix Revolutions. Put them in order.
You've got this.
I don't. In fact, I'm going to say The Matrix is first. Revelation, Resurrection, Reloaded. Revelation, Resurrections, Reloaded.
It's Revolutions.
Whatever. I don't think it is, or it shouldn't have been.
Revelation.
Revelations.
Revolution?
They just did the last book of the Bible. It was a real departure for this.
The one I saw.
I want to trust you on this.
I would but trust that I'm wrong. I might accidentally have gotten it right, except for the names.
I'm going to disagree.
That's a good choice.
That is correct. You are correct in disagreeing. Although she was close, she just flipped Reloaded and Revolutions. So it was Matrix, then Reloaded, then Revolutions, then Resurrections. There you go. Todd Sibbia.
Good job, Julia. Two, four, or eight?
Sorry. Two, four, eight. Our heads are in the
way. Let's go with number eight.
Number eight. Who's answering?
Bottom middle.
I haven't picked Annie yet.
So. All right.
Annie, on Thursday, Kash Patel was confirmed and walked into the FBI headquarters to this song.
Legendary!
All right.
Mannequin.
Originally called
Kim Cattrall.
Of course, he didn't actually. We just said that he should walk into that song. Originally called Jefferson Airplane, the band that made that song, they had to change their name once, then again, because band members kept leaving by the time that song came out. What was the name of the band?
Starship. Put it on the board.
Agree or disagree?
She was pretty confident. So,
I think
I'll have to agree with that.
That is correct. Ooh. That is correct.
I know four songs by title.
I can't believe
yeah,
it.
I know.
That's and, not you your know, category.
Uh-uh.
You got it.
I knew that. I told you that
Starship.
Song has great meaning to my youth. Do you remember that, Julia?
Oh, yeah.
That's it was a huge song.
Yes.
I must be, you know.
No?
I don't know. I don't know where I was.
Were you a middle high school girl?
I was going to say. Probably not pining after the man who was starring in Mannequin.
That right. Seems like it was even before your time, though.
It's early.
Mannequin?
But I ran it on TV a lot.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
And
yeah.
We grew up with four or five channels, and your parents left you home sick, and you watched soap operas, Price is Right, and Jenny Jones.
So good.
Yeah,
you did.
Kind of explains the culture these days.
Last two squares, Julia. Which one do you want?
I'm going to take two.
Number two.
Top middle.
All right, this one has a music bed that goes
Who's
with
your
it.
Expert?
Brad.
All right, here we go. just kidding. It does have a music bed that goes with it, so I'll start playing that now, and I'll ask you the question. On the Monday roundup on Tuesday, I mentioned a certain video game with this music that had been suddenly beaten for the first time ever, more specifically, the kill screen had been beaten.
This is really loud.
Took 44 years for what classic arcade game to see this achievement?
You know this.
So, I gotta name the game.
The game. Name the game.
Oh, was this Donkey Kong?
Agree.
That is correct.
Yeah, there you go. Oh.
Yeah, they beat the kill screen on Donkey Kong, finally.
Well, it's 4-4 on squares.
Yeah.
Todd wins the game with a tic-tac-toe, but this last square will determine who takes the most squares. So, Todd, you get square number four.
Number four.
Well, yeah, we've each answered an even amount, so you can pick anyone.
You can pick either one of us.
Okay.
I'll pick Annie.
All right.
All right. All right. This is a good one to end on, too. Annie, USAID has been in the news quite a bit with the overspending, and of course, they've folded it under Marco Rubio and the State Department now, who says the agency thinks they have nobody to answer to. What does USAID stand for?
I knew you were going to ask that. It's the United States. Agency. I'm trying to think of something to make up. I know it's agency. I think it's agency in something, but I...
If you make it up, make it really, make really it funny.
That gets me the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's United States agency...
Don't even use the letters. We'd really know then.
Yeah. And fraud and...
Malfeasance.
Agency in disappointment.
Not only not the right letters, not even the right number of words.
U.S. agency in disappointment?
Agency in disappointment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Agency is disappointment.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Todd, is that what USAID
stands for? I know a
little
of something. I want to rename it, actually.
So... Obviously, I'm going to have to disagree.
That is correct. And that means you have a clean sweep of the game, too.
Woo!
Total
job,
number of squares
Todd.
And...
Good job, Todd.
Yeah, you know, coming...
Tic-tac-toe.
Coming from way behind.
That was a comeback victory.
Good
USAID.
Job.
Anybody want to try it? United States
Agency for International Development.
That is correct.
Todd, we appreciate you coming in with us, and also thank you for partnering with us in the show. I want to encourage people to check out civialaw.com right now. Real quick before we take a break, Todd, when people are setting up their estate plan, how often do you find that what the preparation that they've had coming into the meeting to make sure that their estate, a lot of people are paying attention to their taxes right now.
Yes.
How much are you able to help people when you're putting together these trusts, these estate plans, when it comes to lowering the burden of the tax law?
Oh, I mean, there's, you know, we sit down with clients all the time, and I think I saved somebody, them and their family, I think over $120,000 just in planning and just thinking through how they were going to handle some of the things, and just, you know, quick planning, you know. I cover that probably 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In 15 minutes, I'll you know, I'm usually saving, you know, a substantial amount of money. You know, we do charge for initial consultations, but anytime you're paying for me to sit down,
you're getting
information,
more
value on that than the $300 that you pay for.
Yeah, I've heard anecdotes from Todd many times about situations where he sat down with families, especially if they have real estate involved, because you have your real estate license, you understand all of these things in and out, and you're able to, the amount of money that you're able to save, that initial consultation with Todd Sivia is an investment in yourself and in your future, and the peace of mind that comes along with it is priceless. So if you're interested in talking to Todd, you've got your Wentzville office.
Yeah, I've got a Creve Coeur office, Wentzville, Edwardsville, East Alton, you know, Mount Vernon, because we do pick you guys up in Mount Vernon.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, we cover all those different areas, and, you know, we're just here to serve, you know, the public, and, you know, whether you're a business owner and you're trying to figure out, tax savings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a tax credit that's out there. I know somebody that's going to get like $25,000 in a tax credit just for being a small business owner.
Can you imagine leaving that on the table?
Just dropping it and saying, hey, do this.
Because you don't know.
Get it.
Yep. Well, Todd Sivia, he's who we went through. I'm a client of his, and I encourage you to call him and set up that initial appointment, that strategy session with Sivia Law. You'll be very glad you did. Like I said, it's an investment in yourself. Reach out to him at 833-995-WILL. Like he said, he's got a whole bunch of different offices located across the bi-state region, so you can meet him where it is most convenient. 833-995-WILL, online at civialaw.com. Todd, thanks for coming in here. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
Big victory. Julia, a formidable opponent.
Yes.
She was.
Yes, she was. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come in and wrap up the show here, the second half of the 2 o'clock hour, in just a minute. Don't go away.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
My friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us. Good to have Todd in here and do a little X's and O's. Haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I forgot how much I liked preparing X's and O's. It's actually very fun.
I think that you did a good job.
Thank you very much. I think that you did a good job playing it. Everybody did a really good job. I'm really pleased with that segment.
There's a question that I'm going to pose to you guys, and we were discussing in the 1 o'clock hour at the beginning, the first segment of the 1 o'clock hour about J.D. Vance and his comments on masculinity, and, you know, he's kind of out with it. And I really think that when you undercut men in society, then everything else kind of goes, you have to have that. You also have to have an understanding. You know, if I said like a place for women, people are like, oh, where do you think the women's place is? And my answer is wherever the women want to be, they should be able to do that, which includes choosing to establish and nourish a family if they so choose, maybe while juggling a career. Hi, hello, my name is Annie. I have 4 kids and a career. So it's difficult. That whole idea of having it all, I feel like it's very possible that this seemed like it was a big discussion when I was a newer mom because it was hitting me harder. But have you ever seen those conversations back and forth where people try to assess the value of a stay-at-home mom? They like try to put a dollar on it.
Yeah, yeah. Those articles come up every now and then.
It's like trying to quantify the value of a stay-at-home mom as if it needs to be quantified in dollars. Like, the whole reason you go and do that and sacrifice other things is because dollars aren't what matters. And it's in a society that we live in right now, sometimes kind of hard to say that there are things more valuable than dollars, that money isn't the only measurement of success and fulfillment. And people often talk about women in regards of how a woman will choose, do you stay at home or do you go to work? And, you know, if you're like me, and honestly, pretty much all of the women I know, but not all of them, my best friend stays at home and takes care of her kids. Well, actually, she doesn't now. She works now. She does both. But she definitely did when they were younger. I've always thought that feminism should uphold the woman's right to choose whatever it is that she wants to do, and the man supporting the woman's choice and helping make that possible for everybody involved. But it's not like a family chooses to let the woman stay home, or the family together chooses to facilitate the woman going to work just for the benefit of the woman. I mean, it's bigger and broader than that. But then you have to get into the thought of thinking bigger than yourself. When you hear J.D. Vance talking, as we played earlier, but also kind of these rumblings about how you postmodern feminism, which is just trying to absolutely destroy culture. How do you juggle as a man the thoughts in your head about providing for your family, being present for your family, being in all the places you need to be? If you have jobs and multiple jobs, like Brad, I know you have multiple responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You have multiple jobs. Ryan, you're a father with a career and a wife who has a career. How does a man prioritize time and resources?
The resource part is funny because you sort of think about your family, but you're thinking about it. You have to provide whether you have a family or not. So when
even if it's just for yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really providing isn't really a question of like, oh, now I need to become a provider because I have a family. You always have to provide because you have to live. It's just a matter of, okay, now the dollar amount probably goes up a little bit. You got a budget. So that's a big part of it. But that's all a process. You know, you get married and then your budget goes up a little bit. And then, but if you have a dual income, that it kind of doesn't.
You both are married. Do you both still feel compelled to provide for your wives even though they work?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's weird because the way I view money is really about freedom more than anything else. If you have enough money, then you have the freedom to fill in the blank. Whether that be
whatever you want,
travel more.
Yeah.
Whether that be work less, and that to me is the key to. It's a philosophy of money that if she ever is in a tough spot, like if she's having a bad day at work. I want to be able, I mean, this is almost like a life goal. It's how big and important it is to me. I want to be able to tell her, you're not bound by it. She'll probably never leave. She loves her job. But I want her to know that in that moment, I've got her. And there is something very deep about that, that I want to always be. It's why I do real estate and some of these other things, because I want to make sure that I'm going above and beyond just working a job. I want to make sure that I'm, and maybe that job for you is making a lot of money. That's fine. But for me, I want to make sure we have enough that I can always tell her, you don't have to do that. I've got you.
Do you want her to be doing the same thing for you?
No, I don't. It's fine. I want to be able to shoulder that burden.
If your wife came home today and was like, I had a miserable day at work. Every day is a miserable day at work. I want to quit my job. Your goal is to say, then quit.
Yeah. Well, sort of. I mean, practically speaking, we'd have to talk through the implications of that.
The adjustments in the allowance.
If it ever got to that point, we'd have to really discuss. But I want her to know that she can lean on me financially and say, you got me.
And you don't expect that from her at all?
No, not at all.
What do you expect from her?
I mean, just a nice dinner. No.
I was going to tell you to answer it seriously, and I just thought, we'll see where he goes.
I don't know. I don't actually know what I expect from her. She's, I married her for a reason. The reasons that I married her are still the things that I look to her for. And
like what?
Here's a weird thing. She just gets excited about stuff a lot. And I love that. If she is not excited about something, I feel like, well, then we need to get you excited about something, because she's easily excitable. So just little things like that I don't know that I'm looking for a return from her on it, but there are things that I love about her that that it motivates me to live in a certain way, to seek out certain things.
So your expectation of her and your interest in your wife, as a man, you want to provide for her so that she doesn't want for anything or need for anything.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
or
that's
need for anything.
I'm not saying that is everybody's goal and should be. I'm just saying that's what that does motivate me.
Well, and also what you're saying is that's what you're always working towards.
Yeah.
And that might be what a lot of men are working towards and can't quite immediately provide, but even the working towards it, to me, is a masculine man's job to do in a relationship, which is to provide. And nothing of what you're saying, nothing of what I'm hearing is suggesting that you think that your wife shouldn't be working or should be working. It's really up to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean, for us too, it would be pray. What does God want for us? What does God want for you? So that's a huge part of it. But that's also a choice.
And you think that in your mind and in your relationship, your wife working should be because she wants to do it.
Because she wants to do it.
Or it fulfills her.
Ultimately feels called to do it.
And you don't put that same expectation on yourself. You don't feel like you should work only if you feel fulfilled by it or want to do it. You feel it's your duty to do it.
Yeah, and it's actually even deeper than that, because I don't even view it as a duty. I view it as something that is fulfilling. So it's not like, oh, I got to do this because that's my job. It's, I got to do this because that's what I do. Like, I actually feel better doing that than if I didn't.
But you don't, do you feel as though you have a moral responsibility to work in a sense that is different than your wife has a moral responsibility to work? And by work, I'm talking about making money.
Yeah, I would have never put it into words like that. But deep down, I would say I not only feel that burden and feel like I don't want her to have that burden, but I feel like that's right.
What do you think, Brad?
I'm with Ryan on a lot of that. I think that I could quantify a little bit better what I'm looking for in return. You know, I am not in the position that Ryan is in. I am working toward that position to be able to tell my wife, if she doesn't want to do that anymore, stop. You don't have to. We got it covered. We're not there yet. I'm still working to get us there. But all I ask in return is to be there. Whenever I get home, be there. I look for, like, whenever I come into the work environment, it's very stressful. It's high energy. It's rewarding. But, you know, you go up all day at 110 degrees, 110 mile an hour. And then when you come home, you'd want it to not be that, I guess. And so I come home and it's like, hey, just be my cheerleader. Be supportive. Be my wife. You know, that's kind of what I'm looking for in return. And it ain't much, but I think it's kind of summed up in peace and support is kind of what I really look for in return. It's not that times won't be difficult, that times won't be stressful, that times won't be that, but that we're working toward that goal of home is a great place to be and to hang out and to be around one another, because we care about one another and we're supporting one another in that sense.
Quick Rick says, what about her needs, Brad? You know, we're talking about right now about masculinity and gender. We're really talking about gender roles. And there are always exceptions to things. I don't think that the quantified income is gendered. You know, if you make more or you make less than your spouse or your significant other, I don't think that that verifies you as a certain sex or disqualifies you in any way, shape, or form. But I think the intent behind it does. And the idea of having gender roles, that there will be anomalies, there will be exceptions or whatever. The idea of having traditional or standard gender roles, it's kind of like the basis with which society builds itself on. And then you have one-offs, or maybe, you know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of households where the women make more money than the men, but they also could still have these sorts of traditional values to it, but the dollars are different.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel emasculated at all if my wife were making six figures or seven figures. In fact, honey, why don't you go do that?
So that you can choose to only work when you're fulfilled?
Well, that would be her choice.
Yeah.
Her choice is to go make seven figures. That's fine with me.
Do you think it's, I mean, if we were talking like this and it was 2022, it would feel a lot different to talk about it than it does right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We've rounded a corner.
What do you think that the antithesis of what we're talking about right now? I mean, do you feel as though there's been a push against the mentality that you guys have talked about?
The push has been back toward what we're talking about recently. And in fact, I would say throughout the Biden presidency, and not to use politics, but just to mark a time period, you know, it is cultural. And I would say that we've been talking about these things enough to know that when we talk about them, there's a lot of people, and it's not just because they're listening to conservative radio, there's a lot of people who will hear it and they go, yeah, that's normal, that's common sense. Even if you don't choose to live that lifestyle, let's not belittle that lifestyle. these gender roles are not evil. In fact, they're rather natural, and falling into them isn't ridiculous.
I know both of your wives, and they're not pushover women. They're very strong, very smart, very fun women. There's really nothing about this, the mentality that you are talking about in your brain. It's like what drives you as a man to be a provider if you are driven to be a provider. I think the people from the outside looking in look at that and say to themselves, if they hate this, if they hate the idea of traditional gender roles, they look at this and it's like, oh, you guys are beating your chest like, oh, we're the man, we make the money, and you stay home and do the little house things or whatever. Like I said, I know your wives and I know the quality of people they are. This is not because you believe they have a place. This is you behaving in this way out of love and the utmost respect for the women in your life. Did I read that wrong?
No, that's absolutely
that's way
right.
Off.
I can't speak for Ryan, but
I can speak for Mrs. Wiggins.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. Like the fight against the gender roles thing is so ridiculous because I think actually the people who protest the hardest, they probably enjoy protesting, and so they need that structure because they enjoy fighting it.
Which folder are we getting our signs out of today?
Yeah, so these things they're just so natural. Mm-hmm. That to fight them is like fighting creation itself, in a sense. And it just doesn't work out. That doesn't mean you have to do exactly that. And that gets lost in the conversation, too. These things are not set in stone. They're just the way things usually play out. They speak to the needs of most people. And if you're not most people, then that's fine.
You know, and I think, too, the word empathy gets thrown around a lot. And I think that this attitude that it needs to be pushed against, that they're not happy, that they don't like it, I think it actually comes from a lack of empathy. Empathy is being able to understand how the other person is feeling, how the person might feel in that situation. And when you start pushing back against this, when you start assuming that their feelings in this situation are different than you are the same as yours, you're not really understanding where people are in that situation, and you're actually pushing your views on that person.
I'm going to say something from my relationship, and you guys can tell me if this sounds right, because I'm going to say something that if Jared and I are having a disagreement, a fight, we don't really fight that much, but we do disagree a lot. And we're not afraid to have those disagreements in front of the kids. I mean, we always want to respect each other, but we might see things differently. We've been together for since 2004. How long is that? Yeah. 21 years almost.
This year will be.
Yeah. So we've been together for over 20 years. But if we have a disagreement, it's very often because, and I think this sounds super traditional gender roles as well. If I was hurt by something that he did or didn't do, I don't think it's a stretch to say 90% of the time he doesn't realize that he did something or didn't do something.
Yeah.
And I realize 50% of that 90% of the time that I'm frustrated and mad about something or upset about something and he doesn't even know. And then if you're a woman, you're like, and another thing, that's a problem you should know by now. That's only one time a month. So I'll explain it to you later, Ryan.
Yeah, I get it. And also, let me know when that is.
You can probably figure it out. What he'll say to me when it gets down to the time, and really later in our relationship now, a lot of times I'll be like, just straight to him, I'll be like, I'm mad. And this is why I'm mad. And I give it to him straight. And it's very coarse, but it's very direct. And we get over the thing way faster because I'm direct with him. And I tell him specifically why I was hurt. And he almost always says to me, he's like, Annie, it's my life goal to make you happy. Like that he's always trying to make me happy. And when he doesn't make me happy, it makes him sad. And I know that about him. And that makes me want to get over the fight faster so that he can learn, okay, this is what happened. This is why you're upset.
The direct approach works.
much. It does. Because he knows that when I'm being direct in a way that's to get us past the end. The natural segue is, do you support abolishing the IRS? And the YouTube live chat poll with almost 300 votes. 14% of you said no. That was Brad's side. 28% are with me on need more information to abolish the IRS. And Ryan, with 57% in agreement, say yes, abolish it. Mark Reardon and the Roundtable, next.